to be mice. He's a kind of man who don't compromise. He'll put me in a state of suspended animation. Can't you appreciate my situation?
Suspended animation indeed. Steve Weeks here, the ultimate podcast from Houston, Texas. Yes, I was suspended. What do I have in common with Don Imus? I was suspended from Board Game Geek. I'm getting a lot of emails. People don't believe me. I was suspended. I was suspended. Why? Because I gave Michael Barnes my password. If you heard the last podcast I did, we were having a contest, and one of us, the idea was to guess who was writing the articles, and so I gave Michael my password to write some articles, and you guys were supposed to guess, and the prize was winning St. Petersburg. Apparently, the admins did not like that, so I was suspended for 2 weeks, and what can I say about that? I guess there's been no big surprise about that, especially the way these guys have acted and the criminal they seem to think Michael to be. But we had a lot of fun with the contest, and I want to congratulate the winner, Al Williams. His name on Board Game Geek, Monday Bio, and he's got a little picture of an albatross on his thing. The albatross has swooped in to win and pick up my copy of St. Petersburg. Congratulations to Al Williams. It's kind of funny. He gave me sent me an email with his address, and he also said he wanted me to sign it, saying that this is the official copy of my St. Petersburg. And I can see this for years from now becoming a very valuable artifact in the board gaming community. In fact, maybe a few years from now, I may even show up on eBay or on the prize table at the Gathering of Friends, worth thousands of dollars. So congratulations, Al. And we had a lot of fun with the contest. I can't believe I had a lot of fun looking at the answers on those articles. A lot of people thinking they're me, especially, I guess, since they were about the League of Untouchable American Gamers. They were all done by Michael Barnes. Every single one of them, all three articles, written by him, impersonating me, and did a fantastic job. It shows you what a great writer the guy is. But there was, I thought, of course, very good tip-offs. Mr. Skeletor on to it on some of them, especially article number one, where it talks about putting Robert Martin on the arch enemies list just for his, because he liked Pillars of the Earth. I would never put anybody on the arch enemies list for having or liking a Euro game. You can like one or two, but you get more than that, you may be pushing it. But no, I wouldn't. Anybody would know that list, arch enemy list, is reserved for the heavy hitters, Schlosser, Vassal, that have committed crimes against the board gaming hobby, or crimes in my mind, like accepting free games, or not doing negative reviews, or just being a Euro snoot in general. That's how you get on that list. And just because you like a Euro game doesn't qualify to be on the list. That was obvious. Number two, I think one guy said that it couldn't have been me because the use of italics, and he was right. But the bigger tip-off on number two was the picture of the girl in there. Very pretty girl, but I would use a picture that would show more flesh than that. That was a big tip-off. She was wearing too much clothes in that picture. So that was obviously Michael there. Number three, talking about the podcast, the Ultimate Podcast, is the most beloved podcast. I would never use a word like beloved to describe my own podcast, and that was a big giveaway there. So all three, but otherwise he did a great job. Apparently he fooled a lot of people. If you read the comments on those articles, all written by Michael Barnes, coming in under the radar, coming in stealth mode to participate in the contest. He wrote me an email. He said it was very hard for him to write like somebody else, but he did a good job. And Al Williams wins the copy of St. Petersburg. Now, if you remember, too, in the last podcast, we had I took Michael on in a game of Why Did the Chicken, the party game, and I asked you people to vote. It was funny. I was looking over the votes. I'm glad I didn't have to hire an accounting firm to count all the votes, because very little participation here. But the winner goes definitely Michael. Some of you voted in on those threads, on the different threads, not... But I still counted your votes, but it still came up, Michael. 5-3 was the last count I did before I aired this here. And Michael wins. Most of the votes go into Michael, of course, his cronies on Fortress Ameritrash. But that's okay. I mean, you guys are allowed to vote. And I did get a few votes myself, 3 votes. But Michael takes that. I don't think we decided what the prize was on this before we finished. I guess I'll just buy him a beer at the convention, at the Ameritrash convention, if that gets off the ground here soon this year, and buy Michael a beer for that. And speaking of conventions, I guess the most famous convention has just finished up recently, the Gathering of Friends. And there was a podcast posted done by Doug Garrett, who was covering the Gathering of Friends, posted twice. Thank you, Aldi, for posting that twice. We saw it the first time, but I guess considering who was speaking, you wanted to post it again, and the fact that you were included as well, we saw it. If you want to post it a third time, post it again, but I don't think you're going to get, you know, generate any more interest in the podcast. Because the guys at Aldi was being interviewed, Rick Thornquist and the Slossinator, Greg Slosser, and there's no big surprise in this. They talk, you know, for those of you didn't listen to the podcast, and you know you're familiar with those characters that were interviewed, or the old guard, as we like to call them, that was interviewed. Here's a little test for they brought up Pillars of Earth. Guess what they said? Pillars of the Earth, the game. Did they like it or not? They liked it. I mean, big surprise there. And just to show you the double standard in these podcasts, mine criticized up and down the line for technical reasons. Let me just do an impression. For those of you who didn't hear it, let me do... This is the Doug Garrett podcast on... Kalis. I mean, these guys, I know it was done live and on the spot, but these guys were blowing on their mics. And I mean, basically all this is the perfect example of phone sex for Eurogamers, all right? Just play this, and you Eurogamers can get off on this with Greg and Thornquist blowing in the mic. And Thornquist sounded like he was being interviewed in another zip code. He was in the distance, it sounded like. I don't know what was going on with that. But, you know, I'm just showing you the double standard, how mine was criticized. And one guy did bring that up on the comments, that Thornquist sounded like he was in the distance, but nowhere near the scrutinization that mine goes through or has gone through on some of the techno thing, the music, my music's too loud and so forth. So I don't want to hear another technical critique on my podcast without you doing it across the line to these guys. But let's talk about the podcast. I'm going to give you my review of it, of the podcast, and some of the comments that were made. Let's start with Doug Garrett. Doug, I don't have a lot of critique on Doug. Doug, I have heard his voice somewhere before, and I can't place it, but I like the voice. It's a very pleasing voice to listen to in terms of a podcast. And I tell you, I listened to it because of the old guard there, but I also listened to it because he was covering a convention in a podcast, and I want to get some ideas on how to do this. He had two segments, basically, in the podcast. It was broken down with talking with the interviews with those three, Aldi, Thornquist, and Schlosser. Then he did a walk around a convention. I got a sense in the walk around that I was actually, you get a sense of what it would like to be there. But I don't think that worked, to be honest with you. I'm trying to figure out how to, if I cover the Ameritrash convention or if I decide to go up to the Board Game Geek convention. I think it's probably my duty, since I'm so close to that, to go up and cover that. That's probably the way I would have done it. But after listening to Doug's, I don't think it works. I think I think the way to go would be just to go to the convention and engross myself and, get involved in it, and then later report on it. Maybe have an interview here and there, but I think the audience will get more out of it just by me becoming very involved in these games and the personalities there, and then reporting on that later rather than actually walk around with a mic and just report on what they're playing. But overall, I like what Doug did. I liked his voice and nice personality. He didn't challenge his guest. He didn't challenge any of those guys to... He tried to at the end with Greg, trying to get Greg to say, hey, tell me what game you didn't like, what was amiss here at the convention. And of course, Greg wouldn't say anything. I've heard Greg before say he's not going to do any negative reviews, and this doesn't do us any good. And I wish Doug Garrett had pushed a little more and, say, come on, Greg, tell us what you think. What was a bad game here? What was a good game? We did get all we got out of it, I think, from all three of them. What they didn't like the dice game, they didn't like the Settlers dice game, and they didn't like the Alhambra dice game. Aldi didn't. He walked away from it. And I got to give Thornquist some credit. He actually said he didn't like a game. He didn't like the Settlers dice game, but he's really not. He's really going out on a limb there. And the Settlers is a big franchise. The fact that their dice game he didn't like is not really hurting those guys that much. So. But talking about Thornquist, he talks about during the walk around, Doug goes up and he's playing this game I can't pronounce by Reiner Knizia, and he called it a total luck fest. And I'm going, yeah, he's actually, I'm thinking to myself, yeah, Thornquist is actually cutting a game here. He's actually telling us what he thinks. But then later he backtracks on the interview. He backtracks saying, are you going to use that clip? Scared to death that some negative review may come out of him, and then he backtracks saying he talked to a designer there, and it's a kid's game. It's actually a fun game. But later he does say he didn't like Settlers. Aldi, of course, barely getting a word edgewise with these two titans and talking back and forth. And it's funny, they just, before the interview portion, they'd just gotten back for a wild night at the ice cream parlor. They on all-night binge at the ice cream parlor. I think Greg must have put a tablespoon of Kahlua on his ice cream because he was raring to go. And, I thought Mr. Skeletor, I think he's the one that had the comment on this after he listened to it, too. I thought Thornquist was out of gaming. I thought he'd retired. And here he is back, full force. Of course, he's talking like a mouse because he's so far in the background. But here he is talking about games again. So what's going on with that? Everybody knows he wasn't out. He can't stand to be out. He's got to be back in the hobby, and he's back talking. Like I said, they all said they love Pillars of the Earth, and this is a beautiful part of the interview. If you listen to it and you hear this, Doug asks him a question. He goes, what game sticks out in your mind as really having a recent game that sticks out in your mind that has staying power? And there's this big pause here, a big pause. And, of course, Greg panics and just blurts out, Kalis, with my gaming group, he says. But I thought we covered this on the My Pass podcast. None of these games have staying power. None of the Euro games you guys play have staying power. And Aldi said he says he loves all games. And I think at the gathering, he said he played the Descent, Arkham Horror, Poker, you know, Ameritrash stuff. And it was amazing listening with the walkthrough, all the Ameritrash stuff that has invaded. Somebody said the spirit of Michael Barnes was there, and it certainly was, because you see, as Doug walked by, Twilight Struggle, Descent being played. Talk about Descent. Great comment out of Thornquist during this interview. He says, I'll tell you a game later on after he's thinking what has staying power. It was an Ameritrash game he brought up that had staying power, Descent. He said, all these conventions I go to, they're playing Descent. And the way he said it, it almost felt like he had sawdust, you know, in his mouth. He just hated saying it. Descent was being played at these conventions because of the Ameritrash influence. But it was really, really a eye-opening interview for those guys. And back, the old guard being interviewed by Doug Garrett. Oh, and I love the way, I don't know if I can do it, but the way Thornquist was talking about Notre Dame, the way he was saying Notre Dame. That's the way we say it here, Rick. Notre Dame, it seemed to be the hit of the gathering of friends. It's the game that seemed to have the most impact. And as I think I saw a comment by Dirk that said it seemed to be the hit of the convention there at the gathering of friends. And listening to Aldi, listening to Thornquist and the Slossinator, you don't really get any information. Greg, of course, not telling you anything, just back and forth. One thing funny about Greg in the interview was he walking by with designer Friedman Fries. You know, somebody had told me that Greg loves dropping these names of the designers, and he's always, you know, and mentioned how he did bring up the fact that how some people have called the gathering friends elitist, and he said, if you think it is, start your own. You know, he loves it. And you could tell he loves the elite factor of the gathering of friends. One thing, and going back to Notre Dame, the guy that had the most telling comment was during the walk around, Siggins, Colonel Siggins, I call him. I love the English accent of Siggins. Doug asked him, what he thought about Notre Dame, if Notre Dame was a winner. And Siggins said, no, it's not a winner, but it was best of the bunch. So you see, you got all these Euro games out there, and none of them are really having an impact. And even Siggins said, you know, it was okay. It was not a winner, but it was the best of the Euro trash that was there. Euro trash. One thing I found fascinating about the that came out during the interview was they talking about the new people that go to the Gathering of Friends. They wear the red badges. Red badges for the new people. The red badge of courage. Do you have courage enough to put on that red badge? Talk about welcoming new people, huh? Make them stick out like a thumb putting on these red badges walking around. And I'm sure they'll say, the Gathering people will say, that, oh, this is just to make them feel welcome. But my first thought when I heard that they were making these guys stick out with red badges was to keep an eye on them. And if they act up, you won't get invited back to the Gathering of Friends. I bet you anything that's part of it. They want to keep an eye on these new people that are there. And rather than welcome, you know, this total BS. You should be welcoming these people. And this for the Ameritrash Convention, there's no need at all to bring out new. Of course, everybody's going to be new there, so we'll all have red badges. But I just thought that was a little much in making these people that are there for the first time wear red badges. Oh yeah, and another great comment, a major theme that seemed to come out of the interview with the old guard guys was they seem to have a lot of they were tired of all these little 45 minute games, an hour games coming out. And I was thinking, that's the whole Euro market. The whole Euro, most of the Euro games are an hour, 45 minutes, the low play time. They're not engrossing. These guys are craving a deeper experience from the Euro side, and it's just not going to be there because that's the whole idea of the Euro side, is to make them short rules like that. And Greg saying he doesn't want another 45-minute game on his shelves. I doubt another game could fit on his shelves. So he's got so many. But that was another theme, and that's pretty much what I got out of it. It wasn't nothing earth-shaking from these guys you're going to get. They're not going to tell you anything. These guys are so in with the designers, and they're even talking about Aldi. I get half joking, Thornquist, that if Aldi wants something published, he'll tell Days of Wonder, they'll publish it. And these guys are so in with the designers that they're not gonna trash anything. And it's really not gonna help the average gamer. If you listen to that, you come away. I think all you come away with is just a bunch of giggling from a bunch of old guard guys. And that's about it. They did mention that they don't like playing prototypes there. I thought that was interesting. Thornquist saying he had an obligation. I have an obligation, I feel, to play prototypes. An obligation. I tell you what, if I was a designer, those guys would be the last people I would want playing my game. They are not on the cutting edge of what's happening right now in gaming. And to be fair, I don't think I would want Michael Barnes either, because he's so explosive. But I do tell you a guy that I think I would want, from the guys I've talked to so far in my podcast, would be Robert Martin. I'd want him to play Prototype. He's a level-headed guy, and he knows what's fun. He has a good grasp on what makes a good, fun game and a challenging game, a game that draws you in. And, you look at the Gathering of Friends, they talk about this big prize table. Last year, I think they had the Settlers 3D version up there, $300 game, a lot of rare games on the prize table. And you're going to tell me that, Alan has prototypes there too, Alan Moon, and these guys playing the prototype, that they're actually going to give him negative feedback on that, even if it's bad? Or even the other guys, they're going to give you negative feedback? These guys won't give you negative feedback on somebody that's not there on these games. They just don't do it. They're not the kind of people that are going to really help you in design and working the kinks out of a game. Now, I did recently buy Twilight Struggle on Aldi's recommendation when I did the interview with him. I haven't played that yet, but I've read through the rules, and I looked on the back, and I noticed that Greg Schlosser, the Schlossinator, playtested that game. And that is one exception. I think that is absolutely brilliant, is to have Schlosser playtest that game. His background in war games, and then now heavily into Euros. With the type of game Twilight Struggle is, Greg would be a good guy to play to. I hope that they didn't really listen to a lot of his comments, but you want to watch Greg and when he's playing that, and watch his reactions, and to tell you if you were on target with the right game. And from what I hear of the game, it's just a fantastic game, and it looks like it is going to be a great game. And I'll have more on that after I actually play it, which will be pretty soon here. We're going to have a bunch of people over soon to get these games going. That one and a lot of new ones I'm going to be playing and reporting on to you here at the Ultimate Podcast. But yeah, they were saying they didn't want to play prototypes, and believe me, I think you designers out there, you do not want those guys playing prototypes, just for the reason that I gave, that they're not going to give you negative feedback. They're not going to, and Greg even mentioned he was a little jaded from all the games he's got. So you need some people that really, I think, like people like Robert Martin are going to be your best bet when playing those prototypes. And that's important, because we want these games, we want new games, these new games coming out. We want them, all the kinks worked out, and we want to hear the bad problems about them. And that's exactly what you're going to get from guys like Robert. What can I say about the Gathering of Friends? I say the perfect commentary. Remaining commentary should go to a member of the league. We haven't talked to him in a long time. Let's go back to our friend Tishu Kanishu for wisdom on the Gathering of Friends.
Also, he who attend Gathering of Friends make lifelong friendships, but will never score with the hot chicks.
Thank you for your wisdom, Tishu Kanishu. You folks would be very smart to follow his advice. I've done it a long time, and I will continue to do so. Let's talk about what do we see in the news, other news here. What was it, the magazine? Is it Games Quarterly that is no longer is going out of business, no longer be published? You know, I had a thread recently where I was talking about possibly starting a Ameritrash magazine. And it was funny, Christian Peterson from Fantasy Flight Games responded saying that the gaming world was littered with the deaths of all these magazines. And it looks like he was right, because here's another one that's gone down. But you know, I like gaming magazines. I wish there were more of them. You know, you're at work and you work on the computer all day. And then I like, rather than get on and to this internet and look stuff up, I'd rather just relax on the couch or in your chair and just read a magazine and kind of unwind after work, because with your head being in the computer all day. And speaking of that, I don't know how these guys, I know guys that will work on, and these are programmers, most of, and Dirk said most of the audience on the Dirk interviews, most of you guys are coders, as he calls them out there. I never heard that word before, coders. I guess that's what you guys like to be called, coders. It gives you a James Bond mystique. Takes kind of the nerd edge off of it being called a coder. Okay. But, yeah, he was saying that, and I know guys that do this, they work all day long, and it's got to be programming on a computer. It's got to be definitely a deeper experience, I'm sure, than just a casual user using applications, because you're really deep into the what you're doing, the logic of it. And then you come home, and then these guys come home, and for relaxation, they get on and play World of Warcraft for hours or a little before that, I guess, what was it, EverQuest. I don't see how you do it, spend all that time on the computer. I can't. Do it. I can't fathom that. I did try that once. There was a computer game I was really into trying to solve years ago, and I was also working heavily at my job on the computer. Came home and I played that, and I did that. My head felt like it was in a drawer when I got finally done. You know, so I said no more of that, because I don't see how you guys do that. What else? Let's see what games we've been playing lately. We had on the, this is interesting. We've been, one of the, I guess you can call this a Euro, but I love it. It's the game Citadels, the Bruno Fiduti game, Citadels. Played that a lot. And recently, it happened again. It happened before, and it happened again. There was a tie. Now, who out there knows in Citadels what happens when there's a tie? Who can tell me? I didn't know that. It wasn't covered in the rules. So this happened a while back, and I had wrote Bruno an email. And I said, Bruno, what happens when you're tied in Citadels? And he said, you share the victory. And Bruno doesn't believe in tiebreakers in his game. And I thought, in his games, I thought that was interesting. It happened again recently when we played it in Citadels. Great game. I haven't got the expansion on that, but I do have, we played it so much, I've got all the character cards in these badge holders, plastic badge holders that we use, that was normally used for employee badges, but they're hard plastic that protect it so those cards don't take so much abuse because they're constantly in use. But we got a lot of fun out of that game, and I did not know that. I did not know what happened in a tie, and Bruno said, you know, that's what happened. Another game, I got to tell you, we're talking about miniatures along the HeroClix type games was Dreamblade. Dreamblade, I tried and I loved it. Fantastic. The miniatures are top notch. I have never seen miniatures that great. And this is a game that actually works. In what I was excited when HeroClix came out at first, and those lines, I have them all. I have HeroClix, the MechWarrior line of from WizKids, and the Crimson Skies set. And this is a perfect example of how they WizKids, and especially the HeroClix, had ruined this game. Because with every new expansion, here comes more and more powers coming out. And it's like, you know, you can't remember. And nothing breaks the flow of a game than stopping and having to look up a rule. Everybody knows that. Breaks the flow of the fun. And they added so many powers and so many things. And I liked HeroClix at first, but now I think, you know, it looks like it was a gimmick. They came up with the gimmick first and then just designed a game around that. Because the problem, the big selling point on HeroClix was, look, there's no bookkeeping, but anybody that's played HeroScape, no, that's rough, isn't it, the bookkeeping with the hit markers. I wouldn't even call that bookkeeping. It's more like the problem you have with HeroClix is that you have to lift them up to change it, and on the map you can forget, unless you mark it, you forget where the guy goes, and it's just a big pain. And getting back to Dreamblade, that's not a problem in Dreamblade because it's more of an area control type game, and it really is fantastic. Some of the things, I got to tell you, some of the miniatures on that are absolutely out of this world weird type stuff. But, and it's got dice rolling in it, and it's a very nice game, very nice area control game where you try to maneuver your pieces into these scoring cells on this board. The only thing I don't like of it is, like with the HeroClix, it comes with a paper board, but definitely they put in the work into the rules. It's a very tight game. Everything flows nicely. It's a lot of fun. It's not too long. You want to play it. When you're done, you want to play it again. It does have the collectability aspect. I go back and forth on that. Sometimes I like that because it keeps the game fresh and new. You bring these new pieces in. But then again, it does run into a lot of money on that. So I would definitely check out Dreamblade for those. I had high hopes going back to the WizKids for Crimson Skies, and I was hoping, because those were so neat. But the game just, it wasn't there, and it's one of those, you like it at first, but then it goes straight down the tubes because it's so bogged down. It doesn't flow fast. I would love for somebody to come up with a better game using those miniatures. A better air combat game using those miniatures, because it'd be fantastic. But definitely recommend Dreamblade of all of those that I mentioned. If you haven't seen it, definitely check it out, because it is a fantastic one of the best collectible miniatures games that are out there, if you can even call it that, because it's really more area control board game type game, and it really is fun. Definitely recommend that to you. We'll be right back. Hang in there, folks.
At a Colombian bar, we drove out of Cali down to
You know, I was thinking again, talking about perverts, the phone sex, the Europhone sex with the interview with Slosser and Thornquist blowing on the mics and the interview. I think Dirk was listening to that up in the hotel room at the gathering of friends. It's talking about Dirk is interesting. He didn't show. He didn't show on the podcast. I wonder why. But anyway, we're going to do another new feature here on the show this time. We're going to have put somebody on trial here and for one of their reviews, and it's going to be Greg Slosser is going to lead us out on this feature. Here we go. The Cloud Nine Conspiracy. On trial, Greg Slosser. The way this works, the way this new trial works, this new feature on the Ultimate Podcast is you, the listener, are the judge. You can vote. Send me an email. Your vote, guilty or innocent. Is Greg guilty or innocent? What is the charge? I say this review, this review of Cloud Nine was influenced by him receiving a free game. I present the facts. You render the verdict, guilty or not guilty. Ladies and gentlemen of the jury, I present my case, the Cloud Nine conspiracy. It is a conspiracy because Greg was influenced, I believe, by receiving a free copy of Cloud Nine. I want to put into evidence the article. This is article 29034 on Board Game Geek. Greg's first crime, of course, is that his review of Cloud Nine is in the session reports. Greg, reviews go in the reviews, not session reports. But that aside, let me proceed. Now, Greg says he first played this game back in 1999, and he didn't like it. Read for yourself, he didn't like it. But my first point, recently he said he was sent a copy of the new edition of the out-of-the-box version of Cloud Nine. Sent a copy. A free game, ladies and gentlemen of the jury. A free game. Greg was given a free game. There's no doubt about it. Fact number one, he received a free game of Cloud Nine. He said he did not like this game. He's played the older version. He didn't like it. Now, Greg, in his session report, goes on, reiterates the rules, and then Greg has a brilliant statement here. He says, as is appropriate for the subject matter of Soaring Into the Clouds, Cloud Nine is extremely light and fluffy. Light and fluffy indeed. Now, it's certainly a push-your-luck style game, with the decisions being made based on little evidence or information. Greg said this bothered him the first two times he played, but for now, for some reason, it doesn't bother him now. I put it to you, Greg. The reason it does not bother you now is because you received a free game from a major publishing company out of the box. Free. That's it. You guys are the jury. Guilty or not guilty. Greg, here's a game that Greg has played before. He didn't like it. He admits that. He gets a free copy from out of the box, a new version. He plays it and he likes it. The changes between the two are not that significant, in my view, to warrant a change in Greg's decision. Is he guilty? Was he influenced by receiving this free game? Cast your vote. Guilty or not guilty, send me an email. Let me know. That ends the Cloud Nine conspiracy. All right. I vote guilty. Guilty's my vote. But anyway, yeah. You know, I'm looking to have talking about getting people on the show. I'm looking to have to get Mr. Skeletor on the show. He's down in Australia, down under. And I'm trying to get my Skype working where I can have Mr. Skeletor on. I thought about having two or three, maybe a panel of people on, but then it really just turns into a pissing contest. And after listening to Doug Garrett's, I get accused of walking over my guest as talking over them when they're trying to talk. You should have, you're talking about Aldi. He couldn't get a word in with Schlosser and Thornquist going back and forth on it. But They had to stop at one point and say, Aldi, what do you think? I mean, they were going so strong. But, yeah, I don't think, I thought about having a panel on, but maybe I'll do it. I want to experiment with this Skype and see if I can get that going to where I can have multiple guests. We'll see. Enjoy the show. I hope you did, too. We're going to be back soon. Remember, I'm not going to be posting this time, so it's going to be interesting. My subscribers... should see this show on there. It's going to be interesting to see how many downloads they get. Last show, record downloads with the Barn Show, but we'll see how much I get without advertising because I'm suspended, remember, from Board Game Geek. But hopefully I'll be back on soon. I was curious why they didn't ban me because that's certainly a direct violation of the rules of Board Game Geek. Although I don't think it's spelled out that you can't give your password to anybody else, but it was had a lot of fun with that. We'll see if I come back to it. Ladies and gentlemen, take care. I hope you enjoyed the show. This is Steve Weeks from Houston, Texas, signing off the Ultimate Podcast. Thanks a lot.